Joined now by State Auditor Dave Bolick. And thank you told me not to call you Mr. Bolick. I want to do that, but I did know your dad and work for your dad, so it's almost like you're part of the family here.
Anybody that worked for my dad can't call me Mr. Bolick. I'm Dave. He thought a lot of you, by the way.
Well, thank you so much. And I learned a lot from him when he was news director here. It's hard to believe that was about 40 years ago.
Hard to believe.
But you're in your first term now as the state auditor, and you've been in the news a lot this week, not actually for something you did, but something the Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger wants you to do, and that's he introduced the DAVE Act. And DAVE, sort of a name for you, but it's also Division of Accountability, Value, and Efficiency that would be in your office. And exactly what would you be charged with doing with that?
Well, Tony, great bill, even better name for the bill, right?
I thought you'd like the name.
No, it would. I think it sort of puts into motion the fact that I think the work that I talked about on the campaign trail that I wanted to accomplish in the state auditor's office is aligned with what the legislature would like to do. And more than anything, I think that this bill sort of codifies that and memorializes that in a movement forward. So, you know, when I got into office and we talked to the team in place and the team that we're bringing on, it's really about the mission. And the mission is accountability and transparency in government. And that's what I talked about on the campaign trail. And I think this bill that Senator Berger has introduced really just puts that, you know, into motion to let the public know that the state auditor and the legislature are in alignment on these issues.
Now, as I understand it, this bill would call for you to, by the end of the year, produce a report that would have recommendations on programs that could be eliminated?
Yeah, and we're prepared to do that. You know, if you look at the state constitution, it's pretty clear. It says that the legislature can delegate duties and responsibilities to members of the Council of State that they think are appropriate for those Council of State members. And so I've worked really hard since January 2nd to build a top-notch team over at the auditor's office. We're still in that process, but we've got some good folks that we've brought in. We have some fantastic civil servants who have been longtime team members at the auditor's office who are really excited about the vision.
Of course, this automatically brings comparisons to the federal level DOGE, which is headed by Elon Musk. But would you see the primary difference being that you are a constitutionally elected officer as opposed to someone brought in without any kind of confirmation?
Well, I mean, I think there's two things. One is I'm not a chief executive, so you don't have the power of the pen to just unilaterally sort of eliminate things or manage things from a top down. But, you know, I've talked about this to groups, whether it's a Rotary Club or the downtown alliances and different people who have asked, and I've talked about it with legislators. I do think there's room for government efficiency in North Carolina, but I want to do it from the auditor's office in a structured format. It's really important for me to do it through an organized structure for a lot of reasons, not the least of which, when you're the state auditor, I believe you've got to be right. So you can't throw darts without the data to back up your recommendations. And I'm really excited about what President Trump is doing at the federal level. You know, I'll give you a data point to tell you, you know, there is efficiencies that we can find in state government, but we don't have the fire in North Carolina that they have at the federal level. And one good data point that I could give you is, you know, the state credit card, basically, how much money we borrow and what our balance is. If you measured that on a per capita basis, so every adult in North Carolina is responsible for $416 in debt, okay? And that includes all the municipal and state debt. Sounds like a lot of money until you know that every North Carolinian share of the federal debt is $106,000. And so I think, quite frankly, that speaks to the conservative nature of our legislature and the way our money has been managed and the fact that we have to have a balanced budget in North Carolina.
And that's something that the federal government does not have to have, and that's one of the big differences we've seen between state and federal governments over the years.
It is, and I think that helps with the stewardship of taxpayer dollars. So that being said, there is room always for efficiency, and you know, one of the things that I've got one of the team members at the auditor's office doing now is compiling all the previous efficiency reports. Man, you wouldn't believe how many of these reports there are that have been done over the years that have, quite frankly, just collected dust. And it's a shame. So I'm committed to just, you know, put the hammer down and, so to speak, the gas pedal, whatever you want to call it, and let's get to it.